This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith getting started on a Friday the 13th edition of the show. Thanks for being along for the ride this afternoon with you till 6 p.m. And I'm live this afternoon from National RX in Farragut. A beautiful day in West Knoxville. Hope you're doing well. Welcome into the festivities. 11-134 Kingston Pike, where I am for the next 3 hours or so. Bears in the Bears Den. Jake Miller is back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. And we are ready to roll on this Friday afternoon edition of the show. How you doing, Bear?
I am doing peachy, Russell. Doing really
Outstanding.
Well.
Outstanding. A little breaking news off the top here of the show.
Really?
Remember, earlier in the week, we had Kentucky Wildcats running back Chris Rodriguez on the docket?
Yes.
Got popped for a DUI.
Yeah.
Apparently, news out of Lexington today, a warrant has been issued for Chris Rodriguez after he failed to appear for his arraignment today.
Yeah, I don't understand people that, you know, that's not a request. There's certain things in life that aren't optional. It's, you know, it's optional. That's not one of them. Yeah, you got to be a special kind of DA to blow something like that, especially in his position. That's really stunning, man.
Yeah. I mean, like the decision not to be there or the failure to know that you're supposed to be there. You know, maybe he did not take care of business and know how to follow through on the situation, but that decision or that lack of knowledge almost worse than the original situation to get behind the wheel of a car inebriated.
I mean, in some ways it's even though, you know, my stance on people, idiots that drive drunk is well known on this show, but in some ways it's almost dumber. Because at least he could say, you know, I was drunk and I made a horrible decision and got behind the wheel, you know. That, to me, just blowing off something like this when you're in his position with everything this kid has to lose is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, be interesting to see what Mark Stoops does about that. I mean, I don't think you're not going to get kicked off the team or anything like that. But, I mean, it does take, you know, a DUI can. We've seen it be swept under the rug at that level before.
I don't see how you're sweeping this one. The other thing, you know, I mean,
well, I mean, it might go from just, hey, we'll handle it internally, 5 a.m. running sessions for a month, something like that too. Now we might be talking about a suspension.
Oh yeah.
For a game. Yeah, two.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I mean, who knows what the far reaching, effects will be going for, you know, cause this is a guy that is projected to play at the next level. And, you know, everybody's heard, you know, Terry Fair describe, you know, the NFL as being, you know, that these teams are very risk averse. And it might make the difference between somebody, you know, pulling the, you know, trigger on drafting you and not. It's just, man, just all the crap that it just adds to when he was going through the process next spring.
It will be something that's brought up and that he'll have to answer for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it is Friday the 13th, ladies and gentlemen, and the Georgia baseball team had a they ran into their version of Freddy Krueger and Jason rolled into one in Chase Dollander, Trey Lipscomb, and Blake Burke last night. Bombs away, Burke.
It's kind of having a, it's kind of cool having another Burke just bombing.
Yeah, I just made that connection too. We got. Are we sure he and Chris aren't related?
I don't think so. Although I have heard Chris speak highly of Blake.
The similarities between Blake Burke and Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing are really astounding. And I heard somebody else make that it might have been Todd Walker earlier in the season made that comparison. And somebody made it again last night. And I think our guy Callum on Twitter put up side-by-side video of those guys swing. And it is uncanny. I'm not going to go out and compare him to Ken Griffey Jr. Just comparing the beauty of the swing. It's like comparing my golf swing to Fred Couples. Yeah, it looks good. The results might not necessarily be the same. But we got a couple of future stars on this team in Christian Scott and Christian Moore. Christian Scott's having a nice season too. Christian Moore, Blake Burke, a couple of fabulous freshmen. And man, those guys next year when they're in the starting lineup every day, I mean, those guys are going to be the cornerstone of your lineup when Beck and Gilbert are gone. And I think those guys are going to be just absolute superstars here in Big Orange Country.
But I've got somebody tell me Vitello's compared his Burke swing to Will Clark's. That's going way back.
Wow. He had a sweet swing too.
Yeah, he did. I especially liked, there's something to be said for, he didn't do, you know, a standard bat flip. He did the let go of it and just let it drop behind him.
I mean, that's almost like I remember Ryan Klesko from the Braves used to do that one too. Like that's almost
that's one of them. I love that one.
It's almost more. I don't want to say it's better than the bat flip because the bat flip is pretty cool. But when you do that, you know you've recognized what's happened before. You flip the bat. I mean, you take a couple of steps down the line, wait for it, and it's like, okay, I'm sure this one's gone. Then you flip it. When you basically let go and throw your hands up in the air before the ball's even left the infield, that's a BA move right there.
BA. Well, that's somebody that, that could tell by the way it, you know, the hit felt.
I'm sure
he knew that thing was going. He just launched one, so alpha move for sure to pull that one though.
He got all of it. Stellar start from Dollander, as it was him, Burnsy coming in, Mr. Burns, in relief, and then Redmond Walsh to nail it down, 5-2, the final game two, set to start at 5:30. Vitello, what are you doing, man? I thought we talked about this. Not allowed to start a game during the show.
You can blame SEC Network for that.
I think it's got to do with them. Is the SEC softball tournament going on right now?
Alabama and Auburn are playing.
Oh, who cares? I mean,
I'm just telling you.
How many times do we have to go over this, Tony? We will be discussing this next week. This aggression will not stand, man. Yeah, I know you're Mr. Popular. Everybody's eating out of the palm of your hand. Don't forget where you came from, Vitello. Don't forget who was having you on. Playing a little jam or not a jam when nobody knew who you were. Don't forget where you came from, but Vitello, don't go getting the big head on us.
Well, you know why they're actually playing the game at 5:30. It's because Alabama and Auburn are playing at 8:30, and they want to make sure that we're done before that game starts.
I mean, newsflash, we won't be done. When was the last time you saw one of these games take less than 3 hours?
Never.
It's not only us. Arkansas and Vanderbilt, I'm fairly certain they're starting at 6:30, but 5:30, I guess, are they in Nashville this weekend? I guess it doesn't matter. 5:30 Central time is their start time as well.
With his home run in the second inning last night, Trey Lipscomb, and that was a moonshot, reaches 20 home runs on the season. The first of all to hit 20 or more homers in a single season since Cody Haan back in 2009. Burke, two homer performance last night, 9 dingers on the season, equaling Christian Moore's season-long home run total. So those guys have a little contest going on. 9 home runs by Burke and Moore, the most in a single season by a Tennessee freshman since 2008 when Kentrell Davis had 13 homers. And Redmond Walsh getting his 6th save of the season, 22nd of his Tennessee career. He is now just 1 away from tying Todd Helton for the lead on Tennessee's all-time career saves list. So
that's so whenever you say anybody says that stat and it's Helton, it's just it all these years later just still sounds so odd because he's known as a, you know, just as a hitter.
The rankings, the records beginning to mount for this Tennessee team. Also, saw this on 247sports.com earlier today. Of course, Julian Phillips committing to Tennessee yesterday. Big get for Rick Barnes, another 5-star, the 6th 5-star prospect to commit to Tennessee during the Rick Barnes era. We had forgotten Brandon Huntley Hatfield on our list yesterday. So 6 in the past 4 years, and they had a ranking on 247. They showed you where, you know, where he ranks all time among Tennessee basketball signees. So he's the number 12 player in the country. That is the 4th highest ranking, according to 247, that a Tennessee signee has ever had. So he is the 9th 5-star all time to sign with Tennessee. That kind of surprised me. I thought we would have had more by now. Duke Cruz, back in 2006, was the 10th highest-rated player to sign with Tennessee. Now, he was the number 25 overall player in the country that year, a 4-star. Now we get into the 5-stars. The 9th highest-ranked prospect to sign with Tennessee was Huntley Hatfield last year. He was number 26 in the country. The 8th highest-ranked player was Josiah Jordan James. He was
number top 10?
He was the 22nd national player in the class of 2019.
Okay.
5-star. The 7th guy on the list, Robert Hubbs, was the 20th ranked player in the country. Forget about that, right? I mean, that was a big deal when he signed.
Yeah.
Keon Johnson was number 17 in 2020. Jaden Springer was number 16 in 2020. And then Julian Phillips, number 12 this year. Do you want to take a guess? The 3 players higher than... Actually, it's just 2 players. Huh. This list is missing number 3. Is there a tie or something here? What's going on? Anyway, you want to take a crack?
Yeah, I mean, I would say...
Higher. Yeah, go ahead.
One's got to be Allen Houston, right?
No. Well, I mean, keep in mind, I mean, that was, you know, the star system, these rankings didn't come into effect until early 2000s. So that was.
Okay. God, what's that? I just had his name. Hobson?
Hobson is number 2 on this list. He was the number 7 player in the country in 2008.
Hmm.
I'll give you a hint. Number 1. Played last night.
Tobias Harris.
Tobias was the number 6 player in the country in 2010. Now, man, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure Houston would have been top 5. Bernard King, a couple of others might have been up there, and if we had those kind of rankings back in the day. But yep, there you have it. This is Julian Phillips, the 4th highest. I think it should be 3rd highest. They messed up on this list because it goes 5-4-2. So, Grant Ramey, go check, call your editor.
But, Yeah, but we are agree. We both think that had the system been in place, Bernard King and Allen Houston probably top everybody, though, right?
They would have been up there. Trey Wallace is up there. He joins for his weekly appearance on the show, coming up here in just a few moments. Terry Fair will join today as well in hour number two. We'll be taking your phone calls if you want to jump in, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Jump in early, jump in often. It is The Drive, live this afternoon at National RX in Farragut, 11-134 Kingston Pike. Next to Wendy's, we'll be telling you about the Ananda Professional CBD Enhanced Sleep Oil coming up when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from National RX in Farragut. Next person to stop by, say they're listening to Fan Run Radio, is going to pick up free Smokies tickets, a 9-inning vacation at Smokies Park in Sevierville, up for grabs this afternoon. Next to Wendy's in Farragut. Be here till 6 p.m. Come on by. Say hello. We say hello now to Trey Wallace of Outkick. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. Just trying to figure out why Chris Rodriguez will not show up for his arraignment. Blows my mind.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know, I always want to try and give any human being the benefit of the doubt. And so it's like, man, what could have happened? Could there have been a miscommunication? Did he think it was a different date? Did he put the wrong date in his cell phone? I don't know. It just seems like, and I tried to put myself when I was 20, if I had any sort of interaction with law enforcement, if I were arrested, and I never was, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't be the defining event in my life for that time. Like everything that you do immediately afterwards has to go towards getting that cleared up, right? And so
yeah.
I just can't imagine how you miss your own court date. You think they're just going to let it slide? It's like, bro. That's not how this works. You have to address this.
Well, here's also the thing. There are people in the football program that handle this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like getting somebody to court. Like it is some 19-year-old's job to get somebody to court if they have a date. Like this is, I mean, we know this. This goes on everywhere. So I don't understand it. Kentucky barely released a statement or anything regarding that incident, and now it just makes matters worse. And it's Friday, so and I know this is not what we're getting on, but it's Friday. So if he's arrested on Friday, what time does he not get out over the weekend? Like, this is just making things life just worse for him. I don't get it.
The other thing that is puzzling to me right now, Trey, is I'm following the Titans rookie minicamp that's going on right now. And so Willis looked good. Have you seen what's going on with Treylon Burks?
I have. So I read something about he's been gassed, been out of breath. I've missed a little bit.
Basically, day one of rookie minicamp, first round draft pick, he had to leave the field several times, either because of heat or because of exhaustion. And watching Mike Vrabel speak about it, did not look like the happiest of campers. Not a very good impression. I mean, I'm sure it's warm in Nashville. It's warm today. I was outside earlier today. It's muggy out there, but dude, like, it's going to be hotter during training camp in Nashville. How are you a first-round draft pick and you show up not ready to practice, not able to make it through a first? I mean, they're not in pads or anything. It's not like they're playing football. That is not a great sign for Titans fans, as this is the guy who's supposed to replace A.J. Brown.
I don't quite understand that. I don't understand why. If he did show up out of shape and whatnot, how how the Titans didn't, I don't know, notice it. Maybe when he came in to sign his contract. Like, there's a lot of things that would go into it. I don't know. It's not like Burks has played outside of some crazy weather. I mean, he played at Arkansas. I mean, it's nothing new, in my opinion, when he plays in Nashville. So I don't understand it. Hopefully they get things worked out, but, you know, you only have so much time to get things right when you're in a rookie minicamp. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not pushing the panic button yet. We'll see what happens, but an inauspicious debut for Treylon Burks, the Titans' number one draft pick this week. All right, Trey, what's going on in UT world? Give me something juicy. Give me some gossip, man. Football, basketball, baseball, I don't care. I need a hit. Give me the juice, man. What you got?
Well, I think it showed yesterday that Rick Barnes is down to play the game when it comes to NIL and getting his roster better, I guess maybe is the best way to put it. And we look at the situation that they're in right now, and this speaks volumes for how Tennessee's going to try to handle the future when it comes to college basketball. There were some worries, guys, and we've all spoken about this privately. There were some worries about how far Tennessee would go in the NIL game. And I think when you make a splash like you did yesterday, it seems like Tennessee makes these splashes over the last couple of years. You know, you had Kennedy Chandler, you had Jaden, and you had Keon before that. Now you land Julian Phillips, and it seems like they're doing a good job of being consistent when it comes to landing some of these big players. Now, I think this one is for different circumstances besides coming to play at Tennessee under Rick Barnes. But you know what? You look at this thing, and I have a good feeling about where the basketball program is trying to continue to rise, and I think fans should as well.
Well, I'll admit I was a little bit worried about it all, and maybe I'm a worry wart, but part of me was wondering, man, I could see Rick Barnes stepping away. I could see him pulling a Roy Williams. You know, this is not what I'm not down with this NIL stuff. This is not my thing. This is not what college coaching is supposed to be, in his opinion, and walking away. And I know a small vocal minority of our fan base would be perfectly fine with that. But I, you know, it to me, it's hard to improve very much upon what Tennessee basketball is right now under Rick Barnes. And so to me, it says, A, like you alluded to, Trey, he's okay. He's okay with the NIL stuff, and he's willing to play that game. And B, he's got some people around him, Justin Gainey, Rod Clark, now Greg Polinsky, who are going to help him navigate these waters and adjust. And we saw Coach Barnes adjust his philosophy offensively this past season. We've seen him adjust his recruiting philosophy a little bit now to deal with NIL. And I think that's got to be encouraging for Tennessee fans when you look at the future. And this team is going to be pretty good on paper once again, as they've got another stacked roster coming back next year.
I just really like the way Tennessee's roster plays out. Okay. I like that you got Triple J, you got Santiago Vescovi. You're going to have Julian. You got Olivier coming back. You're going to have B.J. Edwards coming in. You got Zakai Ziegler. Like, there's many ways for this to work out for Tennessee. And that's why I like the addition, because I don't know this comparison. I don't know how far this comparison is going to go, but we all watched a lot of Jabari Smith last year at Kentucky. At Auburn. And when you look at the way that he played and you look at the way that Julian Phillips has played, if you go back and watch his tape, if he puts on a little bit of weight, and I think he will once he gets on campus, he can turn into that guy that you need maybe at the four and the three to be able to score. You know, when you go, you know, Tennessee got so used to those scoring droughts last year of like 8 minutes, like Julian Phillips is a guy who's going to go get you a basket, period. So I think that's what you look at when it comes to what Tennessee does with this roster and this lineup and how he fits in, that's where I think this actually is going to help out. And look, this is good for Rick Barnes and what he is trying to do next season. And I think, you know what, you kind of send off Triple J and Viscovi on the right note by bringing in somebody that's going to be able to help like this as well.
Well, I think the good thing is he's Tennessee won't need him to be Jabari Smith. And if he is, great. But I don't think there's going to be as much pressure on Julian Phillips as there was even on Kennedy Chandler last year, where he steps on campus and they're kind of like, here's the ball, here's the keys to the offense. And there were some growing pains there along the way. Ended up in a nice spot, but he had to develop. I think Phillips is going to be, I think there's going to be less pressure on him to perform because of the veteran leadership on the team. And I think he's going to be able to develop at his own pace. And it's going to be fun to watch because he is a terrific athlete. Trey, what do you think about the NIL stuff, man? There's been so much talk about that this week, the NCAA. I think we all kind of agree that the policy that they put out on Monday is kind of toothless, and none of us are expecting big changes right now, but big change is coming to college sports. NIL is a big change. What do you make of the changes we saw this week, if anything?
I think that when you look at it overall and how this is going to play out, I don't think these boosters and these NIL, you know, these groups, I don't think they care right now. I think they're kind of saying to these, you know, to these people that might investigate them and look at them, bring it on. You know, we have handled our business in the right way. We have contracts that are, you know, buttoned up to the top. It's kind of the best way I can put it. And it's kind of like okay, you know what? You want to threaten us? You want to try to come after us? Bring it on, man. We're good. And I think that when you look at it overall, you know, you've got some of the, let's just call them the old heads in college football that are making a very big fuss out of this. And you've got others that are in line, you know, with NIL. Look at Mike Bray's comments. Notre Dame's head basketball coach this week. I mean, he went in on these folks saying, hey, look, you know what? We just got to deal with it now. This is college athletics. Like, suck it up. Go about your ways, however you're going to recruit, and just put it out there and go with the flow when it comes to NIL, because you're not changing anything. As much as the NCAA wants to put out different things like this, you're not changing anything. You're not going to keep some of these players signing with colleges because of maybe a deal, you know, that might get exposed or whatnot. It's not going to be like that. Now what you're going to have is you're going to have these schools handle these contracts and deals once these kids get on campus. And that has to be a handshake deal until they step foot on campus, then so be it. But I just think right now when we look at NIL, we look at the NCAA, I just don't see how they're going to try to enforce this thing. And I'm talking about going back 10 months or whatnot. I think that was just a vague threat that they wanted to throw out there. And overall going forward, these collectives and these boosters are going to be very smart about how they handle their clients. Russ.
Talking with Trey Wallace of Outkick this afternoon on The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Trey, Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello is now on Cameo. If you've seen this, fans, people, anybody can buy, you can purchase a personalized video from Coach Vitello for yourself or a friend, such as a birthday message, for the low price of just $49. That's a deal, man, for a Coach V. $50 for a birthday message from Coach. Video content for a company, customers, or employees are listed as $500. So if you want to keep it small time, just within your peer group or family, $50, $500 for a commercial message. Do you think that Coach has thought this through? Can you imagine some of the creepy request he's going to be getting from the female contingent of Vol Twitter right now?
So So he's on Cameo. Okay, so John Fulkerson's on Cameo. There's a couple other players that are on Cameo. I was wondering if Tony Vitello would go down that road. I would imagine there's going to be a lot of email messages and a lot of requests in his inbox to show up at potential bachelorette parties down the road. Or to, you know, to send some interesting messages for birthdays of maybe the female population.
I hear so much about this toxic masculinity nowadays, and no doubt guys can be rude. Guys got to do better. I don't know where guys are at half the time when you see some of the obnoxious things they're doing online. But I got to say, Trey, the ladies of Vol Twitter, the things they say about Coach Vitello, I mean, good grief, it makes me blush.
It's a little out there. I mean, I've seen some of the stuff. It's a little out there. And look, God bless Tony Vitello. He is a good-looking man. You know what? I wish I was at that age and I looked that good. But whatever. I think he can raise a lot of money for whatever he'd like to put it towards. And I'm sure they will, if he has any goals in mind or if the school has any goals in mind, I think they will break that in a short period of time. I think we can count on that.
Do you think this team... what we saw in Lexington, just a blip on the radar. They win last night 5-2. Where do you think this baseball team is at with this, the last home series? You got Mississippi State next week in Starkville, and then boom, you're in it. You're in Hoover SEC tournament, and then NCAA tournament play starts the next week. Still number one. Does it feel a little bit different to you right now, Trey? Where's this team at?
You know what? I feel like this team is clicking on the right cylinder. Let me break it down. I like what Tony V did with the pitching. It was a little interesting to see Chase Burns come out of the bullpen last night. But I think that we're coming up on what? They've got five games left in the regular season. I keep forgetting if they have a midweek game next week. For some reason, that's slipping my mind. But you look at it and what they have to do. You got two versus Georgia, three versus Mississippi State. And you got to have these arms rested up and ready to go for that following, you know, that following week in Hoover. And I think it's smart for Dolander for what he did last night. And then getting Burns some work as well. Like, that's a good way to go about it. And so I think pitching overall, they had so many guys, four guys that could go as a starter. So I like what they're doing with pitching. I like what Frank Anderson's doing because I think Tony Vitello kind of lets Frank do his thing. But then you also look at the lineup, and it was interesting last night how they tinkered maybe some of the batting order. Like, I remember me, you, and Bear were texting last night. We were talking about Ortega being pinch hit for last night. And you just... maybe Tony is trying to figure a few things out here before they get to the postseason on who could step up in big-time areas and make the big-time plays and trying to figure out who else, you know, he can depend on. So I don't have a problem with what Tony's doing and the way that he's handling his lineup right now. And I think overall as a team, they just bleed confidence, man. They just have it. And going into this afternoon's game, when it starts in like 2 hours from now against Georgia, I mean, if they get a little luck from Vanderbilt, this team could capture the outright SEC championship. And who would have thought that, you know, with five games left in the season or four games after tonight in the regular season? You have to tip your cap to what Tony's doing and the staff of Elander and Anderson. I just feel like they are coming off that. Here's what somebody asked me earlier about that Kentucky loss last weekend. Losing two. The way that they fought back in that third game showed me that this team's going to be just fine. But let's also, you know, the fan base needs to not freak out, you know, if they go down the state, drop a game, or they drop a Sunday game to Georgia just as much as they did in last weekend. So, I think this team is going to be set up really well for the postseason. And I'm excited to watch him. I think Tony Vitello is doing what he has to do right now to make sure his team is ready to go in 2 weeks and has the guys that are eligible.
Great stuff as always, Trey. Appreciate your time, my man. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be talking soon.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Have a wonderful weekend. I don't know if there's any fights this weekend. I know Floyd Mayweather just canceled his fight that was scheduled in Abu Dhabi. So I don't know. We'll see. But enjoy the baseball, and thanks for having me, guys.
Who was Floyd supposed to be fighting?
He was supposed to fight his sparring partner on top of a helipad in the United –
We all miss out, I guess. We all miss out on that wonderful clash of titans.
Oh, hey, Russ, I did need to tell Trey something real quick.
What's up, Bear?
Let Bubba know I've got his t-shirts ready.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. That's going to go over well. That's not going to go over well. You can try to explain that off the air if you'd like to, Bear.
Don't if I even want to know. All right, Trey, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Be well. Appreciate it.
Trey Wallace has left the building. We open up the phone lines to you, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. We can take a quick time out. More of your phone calls coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear and Jake Miller back with you on a Friday afternoon, Friday the 13th. Bear, do you observe Friday the 13th? Will you be treating yourself to a scary film or something of that nature this evening?
I mean, if I was, I guess I could, you know, pull out the 15 Florida game film. If I wanted to scare myself to death, just watch something gruesome.
You big scary movie guy?
Me? It's yeah. Well known I'm not. I hate it. Hate him. Don't like scary movies.
I don't remember. It's really hard to keep track of what you hate.
Well, no. I mean, it's just, to me, it always seemed kind of dumb. I'm not going to pay anybody $10 to then scare the bejesus out of me.
I'm kind of with you. There was a time when I enjoyed a good scary movie, but now I'm with you, man. It's like, I don't need that. I want to feel good, not bad.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just the horror movies, or it's a shock, you know, just the shock value stuff. Cause I'll turn right around and we'll, you know, I mean, we text about it, but like Breaking Bad, in a lot of ways, that's, you know, 10 times worse than any horror movie. It's just all the gore and, you know, the vine. I don't know. Just never been my thing.
Jake Miller, do you have, now it's well known you've only seen like 7 movies in your lifetime. Do you have a favorite scary movie?
Here's Johnny.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that one's, I did pay to see that. You know, or, you know, rented it back in the day. That's scary. But I did enjoy it. But like, what's the movie series? You like those Saw movies, Jake? Like, I figured Jake might sneak up and be like horror movie guy.
Nah, I like the scary movies.
Well, he's not here today. Marcus Young is a little bit under the weather. For the second time, we've known this guy. He's been on the show for what? A month and a half, maybe 2 months, Bear? And he's already had 2 extended illness absences?
Yeah. I mean, we're a tougher breed here on the drive. Shout out to Konzo. He's going to have to get with the program.
I don't know what's going on there, but he has scary movie guy written all over him, right?
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Big, scary movie guy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he, the Saw movies, the stuff where it's just like gross. I mean, there's a difference between scary and gross. Like, some of that stuff is just stupid, right? When I think of scary, I'm thinking of The Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby, you know.
Yeah, devil stuff, Amityville Horror, that stuff, that's where I really draw the line. That stuff spooks me bad. Like anything, any of those devil type movies that you're talking about.
Anything devil, yeah, that can be bad. Alien was pretty scary back in the day. Again, you know, not much gore, just the element of the unknown.
And dealing with space, no one can hear you scream.
The supernatural element of it, you know, that can be scary. That can get to me.
Those dreams are the worst, Bear.
What's that?
Where you're screaming and you can't even hear yourself, and you know that nobody else can hear you.
Dreams. If you watch movies, you would know that was the tagline when Alien dropped.
Yeah.
To the trailer. Sorry, buddy.
You big nightmare guy, Jake. You're the guy that sits up in the middle of the night just screaming. Oh.
Yeah. Actually.
It's okay. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I've woke up screaming many a times.
I scared the bejesus out of my wife at least once or twice a year doing that.
Mm-mm.
So, as we get back to it here this afternoon on the drive, boy, that's terrible news about Danny Green. He blew out a knee at the age of 35 last night. To add insult to injury, or injury to insult, as the case may be, for the Philadelphia 76ers, who were pretty much a no-show at home with their backs up against the wall.
If you're Embiid, how are you? I don't know. Like James Harden. I mean, what? You going to pay him big bucks?
No. No. Like,
somebody put out like his playoff record, like in elimination games.
Well, so like, get one shape, and we'll talk.
Yeah, he's one in what? Seven. One in seven in elimination games. And I'll try and I'll pull it up real quick. But it's not like he's performing well in any of those seven losses.
But I'll tell you what, his counterpart in the Western Conference, Chris Paul, not much better. And he's kind of disappeared in this series with the Mavs down the stretch. And now all of a sudden they're going back out to the desert for a game seven. And I can't wait to get Terry Ferris' thoughts on this coming up here in hour number two. But I kind of like the Mavs in seven if Chris Paul continues to not show up. And I don't know if, you know, that was a blowout last night. Towards the end of the game, he had an awkward fall where he was kind of holding his wrist and talking to a trainer out there. So, I mean,
that would be cool to see him win it, wouldn't it?
We talked about that. I mean, he is a likable dude and everything, but he also has he doesn't get as much flack for as Harden does, because I guess Harden is just a little bit flashy or whatever, brings it on himself a little bit more. But he does, you know, he's bowed out a lot in crunch time as well.
Yeah. So we think the Celtics got anything left?
I do. That team. I'll tell you this. They're not going out like the 76ers went out last night with a whimper.
No, I mean, Giannis is playing out of his mind. He's almost unstoppable.
Celtics might be going out, but they're not going out without a fight. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them send that thing back to Boston.
I hope they do. Just we get to this time of the year, I love game sevens, especially in the NBA.
I'll say this, Milwaukee doesn't want to go back to Boston.
Who the hell would want to go to Boston?
Yeah. No, I think they want to close it out tonight. Like Golden State wants to close it out tonight, man. They do not want to go back to Memphis for a game seven.
Oh, if Golden State loses, they're not winning game seven.
I could get down with that, Jake Miller.
I absolutely 100% could. Memphis is fun to watch. That's been a fun series to watch. That's the one that kind of has the old school feel, probably because they're just basically beating the crap out of each other. It feels like the 80s when those guys get together.
Well, I think the best thing about this playoff series is a lot of the remaining teams are teams that these organizations have built and not bought, like we've seen in the past.
Yeah, for me, it's more the person. I mean, Draymond Green pulled the move. I can't remember who he did it to. I mean, he's ruthless. It was like some kind of crazy looking swim move, and he knocked the guy down, and they called the foul on the guy he knocked down.
Did not see that. Did we lose Russell? I think we did. We'll try to reconnect with him here in a minute. But, I mean, back to what I was saying, Baird, you've seen, you know, especially in the late 2000s and the early 20-teens, most championships were won by teams that were just bought. Your Miami Heat, your Boston Celtics, not necessarily your Lakers because they, I mean, pretty much just built around Kobe. And Kobe didn't really have that much of a supporting cast when he won those two straight later in his career. But your Miami Heat, your Boston Celtics, and being a Celtics fan, I'll admit it, that team was bought. Cleveland Cavaliers, the most recent Lakers championship.
Yeah, but I like that team. I wanted to see KG get a ring.
I mean,
because you know,
I mean, you got to think about how bad that situation was in Minnesota.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I mean, it's that time of year where I start following it, which is wild because, you know, I don't know if it's sometimes wonder if it was because I was younger and it was just totally sports crazy and there weren't 800 channels. But, I mean, I used to follow the NBA during the regular season and they've just over the years kind of lost me. But once it gets down to this, when, you know, you feel like everybody's playing it maximum intensity, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, I really enjoy watching playoffs. So it's good basketball, man.
That it is. And unfortunately, we don't have Jefferson Pilot Sports anymore. That's going to do it for hour number one. Russell Smith will be reconnected with us when we join with Terry Fair coming up at the top of the hour. Stay locked in. The top four at four is coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.